Conference
All right,
recording
let's start the
started.
call.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Noah. The moderator that you heard talking before me was Tom. This all started with just the two of us, and I just want to pause there for one second. We probably all just watched Obama's speech, which was at the end of a very, very crazy, crazy day. There's a lot to unpack with everything that is going on today, much more than we can discuss on this call. I think we all kind of need a break right now, but we just got to keep our foot on the gas this week because we have a lot of work to do. I think one main takeaway I got from Obama's speech just now was really the notion that we are the guardians of democracy, and that's really what this movement is about, and that's what the Indivisible Guide is about. It's about empowering citizens like us to uphold our democracy. So that's my quick little pitch, my quick little spin on the Obama speech. I think we're all a little bit underprepared based on the events of today and that speech. So, real quick background of this organization. It began with just Tom and me being cranky online, and actually it began with Trump getting elected, let's face it. And I think, like a lot of you, I felt like something completely fundamental had shifted in our democracy and that people were not paying enough attention to that. And it was a profound change, and I was not an activist prior to that. I'd never called a congressman before, but I knew that I had to do something. And when the Indivisible Guide came along, it just seemed like, hey, this is the thing. This is a practical approach that might actually work. And so fast forward a little bit. Tom and I, who mostly knew each other online from a cranky blog we used to do together and some other little projects, decided to have lunch. He asked if he could bring a couple more people. I said, sure, sounds fun. We started a little Twitter account to see if anybody else would be interested in joining us. Our first lunch had 12 people, which was a lot of fun. And then Tom had the idea of doing a conference call after that, and there were 35 on the conference call the following week. And then when we got together, I think it was just a week and a half or so after that, we were blown away with 150 people in attendance. So this is a movement. It is growing. It is kind of growing at a speed that Tom and I cannot manage by ourselves, which is why we've really been careful to surround ourselves with people much smarter than us and are just I wouldn't even say delegating, more just giving over all control and authority to people who are better at running this kind of operation than we are. So that's the quick pitch on where we got to where we are. I do want to call out Sarah. I'm hoping that she's on the line. We have benefited hugely by having an early connection to the main Indivisible Guide group, and that was through Sarah. She was one of the contributors to the original guide and has really helped guide us along the way. So, Sarah, are you on the call?
Sarah is here. She is here.
Yep.
So
Hi,
I'm
guys.
Going to I'm going to pass the baton to you.
Okay, cool. I'm actually going to. I'm sorry. I don't know about everyone else, but I'm still a little verklempt from
Yeah, we all
the
are. I'm
goodbye.
totally off my game right now.
Yeah, and I was watching the White House feed as well with all the photos to go with the key lines, and it's just like, ugh, I'm wrecked over here. So, and just sort of the contrast of that with what we're going to be dealing with. So I'm still pulling up the agenda real quick,
Okay.
just to make sure.
I can hit a couple of points while you're pulling that up because I had a little segue.
Okay.
In the guide were some really core principles, and when we kind of adapted the guide for our Austin purposes, we really honed in on some of them and came up with a couple of our own. One that we came up with on our own was no circular firing squads. And by that I mean progressives, Democrats, libertarians, independents, what have you, anybody united against Trump, they just have a tendency to squabble amongst themselves while the authoritarian takes power. And that has to stop. There's no place for that. There's no time for it. We can fight after Trump is gone. The other point I wanted to make was very carefully outlined in the original guide, which was the notion of inclusiveness. And that's something that Tom and I really felt strongly about from the outset and agreed that it couldn't always be Tom and I. And so that is my cue to stop talking now and to hand it over to Sarah and to not say too much more. Thank you.
Thanks, Noah. That's so sweet of you. So now that I've had you given me cover to kind of get my stuff together, so the main thing I'm going to highlight is this week's call to action from the Maine Indivisible team, which if you're subscribed to the email updates, you would have received, along with a couple other items, including some photos of actions from around the country, including here in Austin. And the two asks this week are, number one, to call your senators about all of the cabinet confirmations, which I know from speaking to a number of you today, we've all been very busy with getting friendly with staffers, getting to know their names and positions, and, you know, trying different tactics for expressing ourselves and hopefully communicating our position to those who legislate for us. Now, why are we focusing on senators versus calling everyone is pretty important. It's to do with the fact that there are, number one, those are the folks in the hearings right now, and then also there are budget resolutions that are key that are happening right now. And I do also want to highlight that there are some very detailed congressional updates that are hopefully in the works coming from the main group. That will flesh out a lot of this, sort of empower everyone who isn't, you know, someone who lives on the Hill. You can sort of learn how all these processes work. So that continues to be the huge priority this week. I think we've already had a good, what appears to be an early victory with Betsy DeVos. She's been pushed off. To a sort of undetermined time. Obviously, Sessions today was a interesting experience to keep tabs on. I'm going to try to keep it short, move on to item number two is the Affordable Care Act call to action. There's the call-in day, and I figure we can go ahead and maybe post the link to that on the website. Is that possible, Noah and Tom?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. So healthcare is going to continue to be a priority. Unfortunately, it's not one of those ones that is sort of a, you know, immediately today's the day, and it's exactly the deadline. It's kind of a longer-term looming thing. And I do also want to highlight Lisa in our group as a real resource on healthcare. And I've got a little bit of information, but that seems to be a very evolving process based on what I've heard from people who are in D.C., so that's kind of still a moving target. The other thing I wanted to highlight is not a specific ask, but the Stand Indivisible hashtag is something that clearly I think a lot of people have latched onto. We want to continue to highlight that, in particular to collect images and to really sort of visually tell the story of the work that we're doing and the positions that we're taking so that we can continue to rally people around us and also communicate the message to our legislators. So that's it. That covers me.
I wanted to take a quick moment here and to say that we're very, very lucky to have Sarah, because not only was she on part of the team that did some of the groundwork for the original guide, but I've been in various meetings with her here to steer and grow this chapter, and she's indispensable. You have intelligence in so many different areas, emotional intelligence, organizational intelligence. You know, you just know so much about everything, and you have been sort of like, it's just, we couldn't do this without you. And the second thing I wanted to mention, now that I've buttered you up,
I'm so humbled, really, truly. That's very generous of you.
No, you're amazing. So you mentioned that for our listeners now, where do they go to sign up for those email blasts that are coming from the main group?
Oh, so that's just on the homepage, or at least it was at the very beginning. I'm going to go there right now and just sort of like do the thing to figure out exactly. Okay.
They can go to indivisibleguide.com.
Yeah, indivisibleguide.com. you see kind of the big landing banner with, you know, Lincoln staring out at you. And the two big buttons right now are download the guide and local action groups, rightfully so. If you scroll down a bit, there's stand invisible, how should we reach you? And it's first name, last name, email, and zip code. And when you
awesome.
Click the I'm in button, then you're opting in to the email blasts.
Right.
And you haven't missed much, only one big one has gone out so far because we're trying to keep signal-to-noise ratio really, you know, keep it really strong on content. So.
Absolutely. So we'll need to make a note, Noah, that we need to update the website to have that call to action to help drive people to that, you know, just as a reminder. Okay, back to the agenda.
So we wanted to recap our meeting on Saturday, and I think it's important for those on the call to know a lot of you are in Austin, but we also have a lot of interest from other indivisible groups that are forming around the country, and so we'll kind of try to divide our message here between, hey, let's talk about what went well and what's going to happen next in Austin, and hey, if you're doing this on your own, here's our experience. So like I said, we were kind of blown away by the attendance numbers at the event. You know, we had a lot of RSVPs. We did set up an RSVP plugin on the website, and we also had it set up as an event on Facebook. But even in the guide, it says like 50% of those people will actually show up. In our case, it was roughly 100% of the RSVPs showed up to the event and maxed out the room. So that was fantastic, and everything seemed to move really fast from the moment that I arrived. And so some of like the things we had talked about beforehand, like don't just have Tom and Noah on the stage, didn't happen, and we didn't get a chance to like talk to each other. It was like, oh, it's time to get up on stage and start talking. But it was just really, really, really amazing to look out and make this connection to real human beings who all came together as a group really to feel like they're not crazy. That's the vibe that I got more than anything else. It was people had found their tribe that, you know, they were scared, they were angry, they didn't know what to do with these feelings. They noticed everybody else around them just going back to work like everything was normal, and it is not normal. And to get everybody in that room and make that eye-to-eye connection was just really, really powerful. So that was wonderful. And a lot of people came up afterward and talked to us about that. Like, I finally found my tribe. I'm not crazy. It was very cool. Probably the biggest outcome from the meeting. So Tom and I are both kind of tech guys and writers, and so we think we can solve the world by making a blog, and that's the end of it. So when we think about how to scale something like this, our thing is like, yeah, just go do it. Like our original vision was to just be a completely flat organization and to empower other teams to go do their own thing. If somebody wants to have their own neighborhood indivisible group, yeah, they should just go do it. You know, we're doing it. Why can't you? And that was kind of not the message people wanted to hear. People in that room were, as I said, really scared, really angry, but also really fired up. And they didn't necessarily want to be told, hey, go have fun with us, go do your own thing. It's all spelled out in the guide. Like, they were genuinely looking for direction. And, you know, this is all moving really, really fast. So had we ever had time to pause and stop and think and strategize anything instead of just flying by the seats of our pants like we're doing, that would have made perfect sense. Yeah, most people don't want to go start their own thing. Most people just want to know what to do to fix this problem that is Trump. So that was kind of, hit or miss. We, you know, learned a lot. That was probably the biggest takeaway. And I think probably another big takeaway was that we can't just be completely flat. We can't be completely decentralized. If we're going to grow, we do need some kind of organization. We need to professionalize a little bit, if you will. And so that's kind of what we're working on now. I mentioned also Tom and I standing up on stage, just the two of us and two men on stage talking about issues of diversity and inclusion. It was not the best optics. And again, going back to lavish praise for Sarah, we're all just so grateful that she asserted herself and came up on stage and fielded questions and alleviated some of that. I want to get Sarah's and others' impressions of how that meeting went, but one thing that I did want to kind of call out as an action item, we had people break out into groups by districts and by special projects, but what we failed to do was capture any outcomes of those meetings. And so if you were at that meeting and you broke out by district or special project, report back to us kind of who you appointed as your captains, if you will, or your ambassadors back to the main group so that we can make sure we're all coordinated. So Sarah,
how do you,
yeah, go ahead.
How do you want people to do that reporting?
So just send an email to ask@indivisibleaustin.com.
Yeah.
And then I'll make sure that our folks who are listening in can put a subject line in there like
captains
reporting back or some captains or something, just something that will distinguish it from the other emails that we're getting there.
Yeah. And if you're connected to us in other channels, that's fine too. We'll figure it out. So Sarah or anyone else, did you want to have any more feedback on how the meeting went overall?
I do want to emphasize the diversity angle. At the risk of being very blunt, there are a lot of white faces, like there are in Austin generally. And something that's been on my mind a lot is not just taking the lessons of the Tea Party, as Indivisible is predicated on, rightfully so, in strength and in sort of opposition, but also learning the lessons of movements like Moral Mondays and Standing Rock. I think that there's a lot of community organizing knowledge that, I don't know, that I'm eager to, you know, to really learn from and perhaps defer to. And I'd really like to elevate the voices of the populations that are most at risk in a Trump presidency. So that's just my little soapbox there as the white woman saying that. But
yes,
I don't know if there's anything else to add.
The speech that I've been kind of making and repeating, I think it really resonates with people who look like me, you know, mostly like white professional class people who mostly have benefited from the last 10 years and didn't see any of this shit from Trump coming. But there's a much broader community, in fact, that we need to be reaching that does not look like me, and that is a huge area for improvement for us. And so we are completely open to ideas, to feedback, and how we can make that better.
One quick note about this. One of the most vibrant members of our local community is a woman by the name of Amanda. If you're on Twitter, she is I am the Q. And she is very, very active in both her own Muslim community and in interfaith conversations. Very, very vocal, very, very vibrant, powerful speaker. She was part of our original luncheon. She had some time commitments or family commitments with other travel. She's back. We've been talking. I think we're really going to step up that outreach because, as you know, Muslim community is one of those communities that's going to be at risk under this new regime. And I'm very keen on hearing what they have to say and on the activism that is inherent in a lot of the faith-based communities. It's integral that we talk to those people and bring them in and add their strength to ours.
Okay.
All right.
I suggest we move on so we can get to Q&A and listen to people.
Cool. So we have a packed agenda because so much has been going on. And one of the things that caught us completely by surprise, so we thought that after our Saturday meeting where we were all completely blown away and exhilarated and exhausted, we thought maybe we would get to rest the following day. And then our elite team of researchers and congressional stalkers found out that one of the reps that represents Austin in District 25, this guy, Roger Williams, was actually nearby. So he must have flown into town for the weekend and was going to appear at a parade in Lakeway, which is like 20 or 30 or 40 minutes outside Austin, depending on where you live, to support their football team. And so this was an opportunity to put some of that direct action that's outlined in the original guide into action. But we had no time. We found out about it around 11 a.m., and the parade was scheduled to begin at 2. And so we kind of huddled amongst ourselves real quick about our messaging and blasted out some ideas, and then a few people were able to get out there and put actual boots on the ground and get in Roger Williams' face. So I'm going to turn it over to Shay and Tracy to talk about that.
Yeah, this is Shay. I think, Tracy, why don't you go first, because I think you encountered Roger Williams before I did.
Okay. So I got notice at about 11:30 that this event was going on near me for my representative who voted to support the Goodlatte Amendment. And so I laced up my shoes and organized, and I stopped at the grocery store on the way there to make signage. And I had a sign that said Ethics Matter at Indivisible ATX on one side and hashtag resist at Indivisible ATX on the other. And I got it to the event a little early so I could scope out the place. And with my sign folded in half under my jacket, I was really nervous. I've never done anything like this before. I kept planting myself in front of news cameras, and every time I'd turn around, they would move. And so, unfortunately, wasn't able to get in front of a news camera. But they announced his name along with other elected officials at the very beginning of the event, and I held my sign up over my head and walked Vanna White the crowd. And then after that, the parade took place, and I got on the parade path, and as he was coming down the parade, I stepped out in the pathway of the parade and put my Ethics Matter sign right in front of his face, and he looked shaken. As he came by, I could see his eyes reading my sign, and then he looked straight at me and waved, and I gave him the little two-fingered I'm watching you sign as he went by. And then about a half hour after that, he gave a speech to announce to give the trophy to the coach. And I held my sign up as high as I could right under his nose in front of the crowd, as high as I could over my 5'9.5" frame for the entire time. And I was really freaked out. I was sure I was going to get booed. My heart was pounding the whole time, but no one ever said a word to me. Everyone was reading my sign. No one said a word to me until I was walking out, and a guy kind of ran up to catch up with me and asked me if I was there to protest his support of the Goodlatte Amendment, and I said yes, and he thanked me for being there.
Awesome. Okay. That is awesome.
Wow.
And Shay had a run-in with security.
Yeah, so I don't live close to there because – I live kind of in the far east part of the district. It's about 15 the Hill Country Gallery is about 15 miles from where I live. I guess I heard about it at the same time that Tracy did on our Facebook group for the district. I asked if anybody wanted a carpool on the Facebook group, and then I think somebody on the Signal group, Sherry, she said that she would go if somebody could drive, and I said okay, and I went to the office supply store, got some poster boards and some markers, picked Sherry up. We got there. I'm used to things starting a little late, I guess. I guess we got there at about, 10 after 2, and the parade was already in swing. So we kind of ran over, and there really weren't – we weren't even close to the main part of where all the people were. We were kind of at the end. We saw Roger Williams in the Batmobile. Also, I wrote a blog post after this, so if you go on indivisibleaustin.com, you can read kind of a little recap. But basically, I think the thing that helped the most, one, is everything was from the guide that helped me, and it helped me make a decision about whether I should go or not. I'm with Tracy about it's kind of nerve-wracking. I'm the same as Noah. I've never called my congressperson before. This is definitely new for me. And I don't like confrontation. Like, I don't like arguing with people. And as I wrote on the blog post, I definitely don't like disrupting, kind of like Hill Country football fans, you know, when they're just trying
school football team who's just won the championship getting a trophy. Like, you don't really want to mess it up for the parents, right?
No.
On a Sunday.
Yeah. In Texas.
I did not want to piss anyone off or disrespect anybody. But going back to the Indivisible Guide, it said, like, what do Congress people not want? And it's people showing up at events like ribbon cuttings and high school state championship football parades and making their dissatisfaction known, even if it's just to the representative. It doesn't look good. They don't want any friction. They want to just smile and wave to the cameras and the, you know, parents and look like, you know, the hero. I definitely did some thinking, and on the Signal group, people were discussing about, the tactics. Like, we don't want to be jerks and piss anybody off. Basically, it was me and Sherry together. I didn't realize Tracy was there. And so as Roger Williams was going by, I was like, Sherry, let's get a picture of you holding the sign up while he's driving by. I got one. It was in the shade. And so I said, okay, let's run down to the end and where the sun was and get one. And that's when the security guard stopped us. He said, you're soliciting because of the sign. You can't do that. And I started filming at that point. I had taken some still photos, and I started filming. And then he proceeded to say, you know, if you don't stop filming, I'm calling the cops and having you arrested. And I didn't want to push it, really. I didn't feel any need to push it. At some point, possibly, that might be, you know, a good thing for the movement to make, you know, a statement like that. But, yeah, I mean, honestly, I think, you know, I posted that video online. I wrote the blog post after I got home, and it was about 2 hours of my time, honestly.
Not that much. No.
And afterwards, I was like, you know, like, nobody even read our signs. We weren't anywhere close. But as Tracy said, I could see the kind of grimace on Roger Williams' face when he saw that sign. He was not happy. And all our sign said was, I think Sherry said, ethics matter at Indivisible ATX. Mine said, congratulations, LT for Lake Travis, and welcome home, Roger. And I think he got the message that, you know, we know where he is.
Oh, yeah. So we need to move on to the other items on the agenda, but I do just want to call out one thing that Shay said, which was that Roger Williams was literally in the Batmobile, and he looks ridiculous. So check out the blog post. It's hilarious. All right. Tom, why don't you – let's see. We're kind of running out of time, so maybe we just want to hit a couple of these bullets and give the districts some time to give a quick update. What do you think?
I really want to get to the Q&A.
Okay. So we have let's go to our guest speakers. Let's see, Ricardo and Rob.
Hey, we have want to announce that in District 17, which is just way in a sliver of Austin in the north and in Pflugerville, and runs all the way to Bryan, Colorado Station, Waco, we are trying to reach out to folks outside of the Austin area through social media primarily. We found a good tactic in looking at who responds challenging Representative Flores on Twitter and then liking their tweets or sometimes retweeting them, which kind of caused then Flores blocked our Twitter account for Indivisible TX17. So we just have to do a little workaround by exploring those tweets through our private accounts. Additionally, we've got an event coming up on the 22nd. Sunday the 22nd is our next meeting at Opal Divine's right in front of Fry's on Mopac at 3 p.m. So everyone's invited there. Rob, what else you got?
Not a whole lot other than that. Just our tactics have been so far, our Facebook group is up and running pretty well. We've gotten about 22 people in the Facebook group. As Ricardo said, we have used that to try and reach out eastward. We have pulled in a couple of really amazing people from all over the place. We're starting to make contacts out in Bryan College Station, and hopefully we'll be able to start making some contacts out in Waco as well because, you know, us Austin-based people represent just a sliver of the district, so we're going to have to try and canvas out that direction as well.
And for those of you who are calling in from places outside of Texas, the fact that there will be indivisible groups in places like Waco and Bryan College Station is amazing. Thank you so much. That is such good work.
It's also a factor of Austin being so gerrymandered, and I addressed that in a blog post about Flores blocking our Twitter account. So if you want to check out our website, indivisibletx17.com, and I wrote that blog post last night, and we haven't released it because we kind of wanted to try to reach out in a friendly manner to Flores and say, hey, don't you want to unblock us? So far they haven't responded, so we'll probably hit it hard. But we've got a lot of – I created a Twitter moment that's gotten retweeted 34 times. I'm connected with all kinds of indivisible accounts on our Twitter account as well from all over the nation, and they're retweeting us. So it's been really heartening to – feel like a part of a movement that's making change. Thanks for everybody for your time for letting us update.
Thank you. So TX17 has done an awesome job really kind of building their own movement, and that's what we want to see. Let's go to Chip with District 10, and then we'll get to the Q&A. Chip.
Hi, this is Chip. I'm with the Texas 10th Indivisible Group, and we've been pretty active. For reference, Mike McCall is our rep. There are six people in our core organizers group, Andrew, Chris, Katie, Lisa, the oft-mentioned Sarah, and myself. Many of the others are on the call tonight, too. We've got 342 people in our Facebook group. I know a lot of people are using Facebook as an organizing tool that's working well for us. We've got 30 people in our Slack discussion forum, and I'll talk about that in a sec. The Indivisible Austin meeting last Saturday was a rallying point for our group. We had 27 people sign in to our breakout, and some of the key takeaways, and this is going to sound familiar, Noah, people were really enthused and activated by the Indivisible playbook. Our participants want some face-to-face events, happy hours, meetings, and such. And also, we want to capture the full range of diversity and geographical distribution of the Texas 10th. Our district includes portions of East Austin, including part of State Rep. Donna Duke's district. And the Texas 10th runs up through LaGrange and out to suburban North Houston. So, you know, a lot of people and a lot of ground that we would like to cover. On Monday, our Facebook group had a sharp spike in post volume and a big drop in post quality. We were fearful of losing participants, so we switched to an admin-only posting, and I think I saw that the 25th may have done a similar thing today.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, so we're currently posting call-to-action messages and curated news links to our group. Commenting is still fully open. We'd like to find some ways to get, you know, greater group participation in the Facebook group, so we're exploring a couple of things there. Last week, we rolled out a website at www.tx10indivisible.us. We're not developing a lot of original content there. Instead, the strategy is to leverage the work by the Umbrella Group. The purpose of putting up a website is mostly so we'll be a searchable, discoverable presence for the group on the web. Our website is using the Jekyll framework and is hosted on GitHub. And if the words mean anything to anybody out there, we'd love to have your help. Please volunteer. So I mentioned we're using an online tool called Slack for collaboration. The core team is currently up and working through Slack. We're trying to get more of our participants signed up. So if you are a person in the Texas 10th and want to join in on the work and the organizing, please email info@tx10indivisible.us. We are actively issuing calls to action. We did two last week and two so far this week. We're trying to track the Umbrella Austin group in our calls to action so that hopefully we're amplifying a coordinated message. People are posting anecdotes about their calls to the offices on our Facebook group and find that's a really good thing, especially for folks that haven't been through the calling process before. But we aren't doing anything formal in terms of tracking response and follow-through on the calls. We're going to have a couple of face-to-face meetings in February. We've booked a room at the Gus Garcia Rec Center, and we're hoping that by meeting on the east side, that might help move us towards that goal to get a little bit more diversity into the group. We'll post details about the meeting on our website and on the Indivisible Austin calendar that is brewing once all the info is available. And finally, like the 17th, we're trying to make contact with other localities. So far, we've made contact with Democratic clubs in Fayette County and Katy, but it's yet to be seen how receptive they are going to be to our group and the Indivisible agenda. So that's kind of what's going on here. Again, catch us online at www.tx10indivisible.us or email the core team at info@tx10indivisible.us. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Chip. You guys are rocking it. Let's go ahead. I think we could probably go straight to QA. All of our upcoming events are on our new calendar page on the website, so I'm not going to go through the list. Tom, you want to turn it over to Q&A?
I sure will. So as a reminder, anybody who wants to ask a question, so there's 49 callers. If you want to ask a question, please dial 5-star on your phone. It will push a little notification to my dashboard, and we can go to you, and it takes just a few seconds. So as we're waiting for those callers to sync up, I wanted to make a quick note. I'm actually in Silicon Valley for the next week and a half. I'm having a meeting with some folks at Indivisible San Francisco on Sunday. Anybody else who knows of any other groups that are starting, that have been started, or know anybody who might be interested, talk to me in San Jose, Cupertino, Santa Cruz, any of the cities around San Francisco, anywhere else. I'm here. I'm willing to come out and talk and join up with you guys. Please watch our website for the next big meeting. And we have a question. So give it a second here. You should hear that you're unmuted. Hello, are you there? Hello. Wait, who? Did I just break the internet?
Oh, you got it? All right, there you go.
Yeah. Hi, this is Jason Sugg. I'm with the Texas 21, District 21 Indivisible Group.
Hey, Jason.
And I just wanted to give a quick update and let you guys know that we're having an organizing meeting this Sunday at 2. So anybody who is in Texas 21, which is like all the other districts, screwy. It runs from the West Campus area here in Austin down through South Austin to Northern San Antonio and then across to Fredericksburg and Kerrville and all the way out to Lakey and Bandera. So if anybody is interested in coming on Sunday, then please get in touch with me. We have a Facebook group with about 145 people at this point and some interest in San Antonio, and I have also been in contact with the Democratic clubs out there and have some interest. So anybody who is around in Austin and District 21, please come join us.
You know, what's so amazing to me is that there's all these groups that I have no idea are sprouting up all over the place, and it makes me so happy. it's amazing. You
Great.
Guys are killing it. You guys are amazing. Okay, so here's somebody from the 224 area code. I'm unmuting you now.
Hi, my name's Marika. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Awesome.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Texas, and I think I've been in touch with you guys on Twitter. I started the Actions for Americans Google group, and I'm on Twitter at ActionsUSA.
Yes.
But my question is actually a little different. My sister and her husband actually live up in...
Hello?
Can you hear me still?
Yeah, you got cut off there for a second, but go ahead.
Okay. And my brother-in-law is actually meeting with the head of the Brazos County Democrats tomorrow, and I wondered if there was any message you could pass along to her from you guys on how to get in touch.
On how
There's
to get
a couple
in touch
of different ways.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Well, I mean, so the easiest way is to send a message to ask. Our email address is ask@indivisibleaustin.com. But if they're on Twitter, we're definitely on Twitter at IndivisibleATX, and we have a very active Facebook page.
Yeah, it sounds like he's been to a couple of their meetings, and it sounds like they're not very tech-savvy. Is there another way, maybe, just in case they shy away from Twitter or email? And if you want to take it offline and just
yeah, why don't you take that
me,
offline and we can figure
like,
something out.
DM me or anything on Twitter. That
yeah,
works.
you can contact me on Twitter and we'll work it out.
Okay, perfect.
And I'm taking down your number too, so we can talk about this offline.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, so we have a 979 area code. Oh, it's
hi everybody.
It's Josh.
This is Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Josh from Texas 31. I just wanted to check in about our group's organizing as well. We've got two Facebook groups, TX31 Indivisible ATX and Round Rock Indivisible, that have some overlapping membership, but each group is at about 100 members. And thanks to the leadership of the Round Rock Indivisible group, we've got a sign-up genius going to visit our representative, Representative Carter. He's holding a kind of open house, or you have to schedule an appointment. 16th and 17th of next week. So we've been mainly organizing online, but we're going to go and say hi to Representative Carter and let him know he's going to be hearing from us. And so if you're in District 31 and you'd like to get involved, you can check us out on Facebook. Again, that was TX31 Indivisible ATX.
This is such a good reminder. So Noah, one thing that happened today, I got a call or a text from some of the groups who were experiencing some frustration about not being able to get through the lines. Because, apparently we're just crushing the phone lines at our local congressmen, congressional offices, and senators' offices. And my response was, lace up your boots and get down there, like get to their offices. Just like Indivisible KC, Kansas City, went to Roy Blunt's office today and just sort of had a sit-in.
Yeah.
Make your presence known.
I'm so proud of them. I'm from Kansas City. I'm so proud.
Right. That was amazing. If you've seen what they've done on their Twitter feed, they went down there. There was probably looked like about 20-ish people, 20, 25 people, and they just stayed there until, they were heard. So, 832 area code, I'm unmuting you.
Hi, all. This is Sean, District 25, Sean Glaze. I've been on Twitter.
Hey.
Hey, y'all. I've also done some of the behind-the-scenes town hall stuff, and I'm working on a few things with different groups. But I was calling because, relatedly, so I'm with District 25. I had a meeting yesterday with my neighborhood, which has 13 people that have committed to be a part of, to start an indivisible group to maybe name it Indivisible, 25 East, because we're this little chunk of this really gerrymandered district. We figured having a local group that's close enough to where you can knock on someone's door if they are late to the meeting might be a winning strategy for us. My question, or I guess I can quickly update you, so there are 13 people who committed. There are 13 people who came. They all committed. We're meeting again next Monday, and the location is to be determined. Once the location is decided, we met at our library. Libraries are closed on MLK Day. Then once we have a location, then we'll have a Facebook and we'll have Twitter and we'll have all this other stuff. But we figured we needed a location first. It's a really interesting group. My question, though, is there are so many groups. Have there been any thought about having like a Google Calendar or something that Indivisible often, you know, shares with these captains or whatever you're going to call them, so that we can visibly see all the stuff that's going on in one place and see it tied to a particular time and location?
We actually just put up the Google Calendar for exactly that purpose. And because we're all moving fast and often aren't very smart, for some reason I haven't figured out how to let others contribute to it. But that is the idea, to open it up to those kind of district captains, or at the very least to be receptive to groups that want to post on the calendar, because if it becomes too much, we might have to put some structure in place. But, yeah, absolutely, that is something that we can and will support.
And I've decided unilaterally that everyone's rank at that district level should be chieftain.
There you go.
So we've got about five or six more questions here, but we actually have a written question from Jason in Chicago, and I wanted to read it out because I think it's something that sort of top of mind for me when we started Indivisible Austin. So I'm going to read this note. This is Jason, started Indivisible Chicago, and I'm in the process of ramping up after my first meeting on Thursday. I have our second meeting scheduled for next month, but I wanted to get your thoughts on recruiting for the meeting. So far, our Facebook page is secret, and the event for the meeting is private, but our webpage is public, so indivisiblechicago.com, and people have discussed it publicly. So having a meeting is easy when all the invites are word of mouth, and you have to be a Facebook friend to be invited, but I'd like to move it to a publicly advertised meeting at some point. I know you guys have gone this route. Do you feel there are any potential issues with people crashing the meeting who aren't on board and or are trying to cause trouble? Also, have you experienced any issues with random people from around the internet signing up? Now that we have a public page, I have some concerns about that happening. I know closed and secret web pages have been hacked. I'm not sure I'll be able to call in the conference call. With increased public exposure, do you feel any risk of the group deteriorating as people join who know no one has spoken for? Such a great question. So I think at the very beginning, risk is low because people don't know who we are.
Yes, and that will change.
That threat landscape, man, I'm using all the security buzzwords, is going to change as we start winning and as we start being a pain in everyone's posterior. So yes, at some point, I think there may be people who want to cause trouble. Frankly, what we've experienced in Austin has nothing to do with that. It has been, we have grown so fast that Noah and I had to acknowledge, man, we need some help to keep this thing moving and to keep it organized and to keep everyone focused. And I wish upon you, Jason in Chicago, that problem. That is also a problem. You want to keep people motivated like we discussed. But I think right now the security risk is probably not that bad. I think as we grow and become more successful, that might change. What are your thoughts, Noah and Sarah and everybody else?
My initial thought is that when you have 150 people in a meeting, you got to be pretty ballsy to try to crash that meeting. So that one I wasn't concerned about, but I could totally see smaller meetings garnering unwanted attention. Sarah, did you have any thoughts on that?
I did have a concern. I think it's a thing that it's valid, and it's something that I think I'm still sort of reading up on and kind of trying to formulate a strategy should it happen to us, because, yeah, you do have to be ballsy, but there are plenty of ballsy or I don't know, otherwise undaunted people out there. and I don't know, I'd like to be prepared to handle it in a way that is assertive, civil, in keeping with the values of the guide and, you know, of the society that I believe in. So I guess I would say maybe more on that as I mull and ask for advice.
One of the things, too, that is really interesting is that assertiveness can go a long way in those kind of situations. You don't have to go into aggressiveness. You can just go into assertiveness, like, please leave. You know, you're disrupting our meeting. And, of course, you're having it at a church. And so there's people who are who you could call on or people who own the building, you know, they're trespassing at that point, right? So, and then, you know, we've got various secret weapons, and you know, in our arsenal, and that is like we had at least 5 or 6 U.S. military veterans that I knew of in the crowd, including former Marines. Shout out Semper Fi. You know, I think there's this view of us as all being like liberals and softies and whatever. I think that if they were to crash our individual Austin, I think they'd be in for a rude reception, but that's just me.
So Thomas is the Street Fighter of our group, and so we're lucky to have him. You know, I do think we ought to be careful and that not all groups will have a Street Fighter, and this is something we definitely need to blog more about and learn more about and just figure out best practices. I mean, we're not the first political group to organize and have meetings. So that's a thing, and most of the time it's okay. So let's just figure out what the best protections are that need to be put in place.
Totally.
Tom, if I could add, Tom, real quick, this is Ricardo. I think for 2017, the same, we kind of had that same kind of question come up, like, should our Facebook group be more private? And I think where we've kind of ended up is that those should be relatively open, and we'll have to just address if we have some people who try to, disrupt. As we go, the Signal group is much more of a place where we won't have everybody on. It'll be a little bit more of a leadership. One thing too that I've, you know, in sharing the Twitter account with another volunteer, Alyssa, in our district, I said I'm going to text you the password to our Twitter account. Please don't ever email it. Email is not secure.
I would use Signal.
Yeah. In fact, I did Signal it to her. But yeah, exactly. So you know, keeping in mind that we are likely to try to get hacked, having strong passwords, keeping those secure is a really important thing as well.
And what I told the leadership team today in terms of cybersecurity is like turn 2FA on, the two-factor authentication on everything, Google, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you can, so that you get a text message every time you log in. It's a pain, but you can't be hacked. So I'm going to unmute a caller from 512. Next question.
Hi, my name is Eli. I'm calling from Texas 10. I have sort of one, like, big overarching question, and then I have a couple of sort of smaller comments for Chip. So I'll go with a question and maybe just email direct to text10indivisible.us. The big question is this, especially given how redistricting is such a, you know, a big part of the reality of political life in Austin. To what extent are we, the Indivisible team, interested in, you know, Indivisible style action with respect to the Texas legislature? Either this session or, you know, the elections in 2 years.
We're very just in terms of like also the national organization. I think mm-hmm. we are very interested in terms of we're not necessarily going to be putting out tools because the guide itself, as established, is very federally oriented. But I will reiterate for people listening here, and we'll continue to spread this far and wide, it is Creative Commons licensed. And we already have one sort of inspired spin-off, the Indivertible Guide about press and media. And I strongly encourage anyone interested in that angle, state-level advocacy, city-level, what have you, to, like, if you're fired up, go for it. Produce that content. And, I mean, at the same time, please do reach out to the central team, especially because they're, you know, they may be able to put you in touch with others doing the same, resources, et cetera. But I say, and this is perhaps more me personally than specifically speaking for the guide, but I think, as I said at the meeting, it is time for Democrats to stop conceding local politics. So this is all about get involved. Get involved at a hyper-local level all the way up to federal.
So I just want to point out we started doing that already on the website. We have at least 2 volunteers looking at state issues. There was a march today on the state capitol, and we have a couple of blog posts up and a whole page dedicated to the state ledge. I can see this blowing up into its own website, its own social media presence. For those of you outside of Texas, so if you think our federal Congress people are a bunch of crusty old white men, the Texas ledge, it's like their grandpas. I swear to God, they are the crustiest, oldest old men, white men ever, and they ought to be pretty easy to topple. So that's all I'm going to say about that. I see it as a huge area for expansion that we really want to support.
Also, drilling down even further, I know in our Texas 25 group, somebody posted a list of all the Democratic local precincts that were vacant. And so we've got some people who are going to try to fill out those.
Yep. Just as the Tea Party stood up candidates, we're going to be standing up indivisible candidates. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen soon.
Great question. I'm meeting someone else in 512.
Yes, this is Jeff. I'm also in District 10, although I haven't yet been able to get in touch with the District 10 committee. So my question actually factors into what was just asked. Election reform is a huge issue for me, and I've been working on it personally and professionally for a long time. And after the events of last year, because we're now in 2017, I've been following that two bills have already been filed in the Texas legislature. One was filed by Austin's own Representative Donna Howard, District 48, which would and a companion bill in the Senate by Senator West, that would create a redistricting commission similar to those that are being used in Arizona and a few other states that would basically prohibit gerrymandering. This is obviously extremely unlikely to pass anytime in the immediate future, but I think, as the Tea Party did in 2009, we need to not take that kind of thing into consideration and just start hacking away at all these issues that we care about. And another bill that's been filed in the House, hasn't been filed yet in the Senate, has been filed by Representative Minhares down in San Antonio, which would place Texas with the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which I think a lot of us have heard of, which simply is state legislation that would allocate the electoral votes of a state to the winner of the popular vote nationwide, and the legislation would take effect as soon as a sufficient number of states enacted such legislation as to equal 270 electoral votes. And, you know, these have been important to a lot of people who I think are sympathetic to the indivisible movement in general for a long time, but after the fiasco that we've just seen electorally, I think they're taking on a very new kind of momentum. And I'm hoping that perhaps within Indivisible Austin and Texas on a larger scale, there might be a coordinated movement toward advocating on those particular kinds of issues.
Some of those issues are really near and dear to a lot of folks. So the way that we're handling, there are a lot of people who have lots of things that are near and dear to their hearts. And so far the local group here has decided that we were going to break you guys up into, so the foot soldiers of the movement are people who are making calls in congressional districts. And then we have lots and lots of special projects. So if you have a something that's near and dear to your heart and you want to help organize that, we've got room for you guys to come in and share your ideas and your passion and help us, you can formulate a plan and make that work for us. I'm going to go to the next caller. We're already about an hour into the call, and so I'm going to be really mindful of time. But, yes, if you've got really great ideas, we want to hear them, not only here, but to our next meeting, and we'll be announcing that soon. This is 949 area code. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, my name is Jeff, and...
Hello.
I'm from... Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're in California, Orange County, District 36, and we just created this group on Facebook. We've been pretty active throughout the whole campaign, and now we just really don't know what to do, so we're looking for some guidance, some tips, some advice on what actions we can take and things that we can do on a, you know, certain level with our Congress people.
And Orange County is mostly Republican, right? It's like the Republican enclave of California.
Pretty much. But it was blue this last election, but we still have a lot of red.
I mean, to me, it seems like the Republicans in Orange County, if the county went blue, then they are persuadable, and you should absolutely take them to task and do all the things that everybody else is doing. But it sounds like you're looking for just ideas on how to grow the group. So have you had in-person meetings?
No. Actually, we have one tomorrow that I'm going to attend.
Cool. Do you have any idea how many will be there?
No, I just found out that they reserved the table for 12, so I guess we're expecting 12 or so, maybe more, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that's the starting point, and, I mean, just go to that, and I bet there will be a lot of smart people in the room, and people have great ideas, and just be open to those ideas and make sure everybody has a voice, and just, you know, something will come out of that meeting, I'm sure.
I have some specific, this is just from my interactions with some of the great folks here in San Francisco already. So the folks I'm meeting in San Francisco are in Nancy Pelosi's congressional district. So not that the Indivisible Austin have, or Indivisible SF have to, you know, harass her or do some of the tactics that we're forced to do in sort of deep red Texas, right, against our Republican congressmen who are all pro-Trump. One of the things that they're talking about is they want to make sure they go to Pelosi and they say, "We've got your back. We are here to support you. What do you need from us?" And then look at all the great people we have. Look at the great content we have, the Facebook, the activism, the energy, the passion. Very much like get dialed into the action items because there's still stuff going on. Call your senators, even if they're Democrats, to say, remind them, fight against, you know, Sessions and all these things that are coming up with these Trump nominations. There's lots and lots of work to do. I had an idea the other day, and this is like one of those far-reaching ideas that I want to start having conversations with people. I want to meet as many people as I can in Indivisible chapters along the borders of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and Southern California. Why? Because if he wants to build the wall, I want to have all those teams, all those Indivisible teams talking to one another so that we can fight a united regional battle. So there's lots of stuff to do, depending on what he's going to throw at us and things that we can do now. Any other, like Sarah, do you have some thoughts?
On, like, recruitment?
What he can be doing now? What he can be doing now?
Let's see. I mean, I think one of the biggest things, my big theme, and this is because of primarily due to the role that I played in the creation of the guide, I encourage everyone to continually reflect upon your network, the people that you know, and the things that they know, and, you know, that you can learn from them, and also the things that you can teach the other people that you know. Because I think part of the key of our success and part of the key of the success of, I mean, frankly, kind of the Democratic coalition and ultimately, like, the diverse America that we see in the future is, you know, people of incredibly varied backgrounds and skill sets coming together to be successful. So, I mean, that's a very, like, very basic suggestion, but that's the thing that I think can be really helpful to just get in touch with people, have conversations, brainstorm. It's very similar to Noah's.
Okay.
And was all that helpful?
Thank you. We're just kind of walking blind here.
Yeah.
To what extent was the fact that the event on Saturday was a Facebook event that got shared, you know, with people who were like-minded people on their networks? I think that helped it to grow so quickly as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, having an actual event, physical event to meet people, but then actually making it public so it could get spread.
And having things for people to do So for us, we realized right away that what people needed was the phone numbers for their congressman and some scripts. And you're please crib from us on those scripts that we've posted on our website. Change them, make them your own, make them better, and get that. That feels so good, getting people to do something and they feel like they've accomplished it. It's a small thing, but they've done something. And the stories you heard earlier about the people who showed up to protest our congressman, like they've never done that before, and now they're like, wow, I did something. It felt really good, and it feels like you've got control over something.
Right, and even the people, I would encourage, considering the example of the people in Colorado who showed up to, you know, their representative's office and made a statement. You know, I think really showing up in person it humanizes you to the staffers and, you know, to the rep and senator if they happen to be there. I think it's really impactful, and it also is very empowering in terms of getting yourself plugged into the process too. So,
yeah.
I also love that the Kansas City folks said that they were going to have their folks write the staffers' thank you notes after having a sit-in at their office.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you for tolerating us. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
After my own heart, my hometown. Yay.
So we've got a few more. Wow, we've got lots of questions. So I'm going to go with, Michelle. Hi.
This is Michelle in Kent. I'm going to not ask a question.
Close it. Sorry, you were breaking up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I was just, I don't need to ask a question now.
Oh, okay. Well, we're glad that you're here and that, you know, thank you. This is your second call, and thank you so much. All right, so Laura has another question, I think. Laura from District 10.
Hi. So I actually just have a comment, and then I had a paranoid question, but first a hopefully happy comment to share with you all is that I'm actually in Washington, D.C., as Tom and Sarah both know. I mentioned to them I'm here for work, and I changed my plane ticket, so I will be here all day tomorrow, and I'm going to try to get into the hearings to examine the nomination of Sessions. And if I'm not able to get into that, then I'm going to go knock on the doors of some of our representatives in D.C. that I haven't been able to reach by phone. So,
all right.
I'm feeling pretty excited about that. So
I would make one request. From that,
okay.
Please take pictures, and we will give you an account on our blog so that you can be our correspondent in Washington.
Okay.
I think that would be so great for the people back home to see our reps out in Washington. But go ahead.
Okay. So after that happy note, I actually have to apologize because I have a little bit of a paranoid question, but since I've been retweeting some of the things on my own Twitter account, which I'm very happy to do, I've had some Trump supporters adding me to lists, and it's a little bit creepy. So I was just wondering, is there a policy like Sarah, like what do you do in that situation? Do you just ignore it?
So I can speak to that a bit because that's something that we've noticed a pattern in the central group too. And I've noticed it like just in the last couple days. Various lists that we're all being added to as we retweet things, exactly like you said. It is a little creepy. I personally and some of the other people have been going with the policy of just blocking straight away. Those users
block the person that added you.
Yes.
And that will
but they can still.
The Yeah.
They can still see your account though, right? I mean, if they go to it without being logged in, I guess.
That's correct.
But okay.
But at least you'll be off the list, and that specific account that added you cannot see you.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And if you want to hide yourself, if you want to be non-public, you can lock your account so that only people who have followed you
right.
can see
you can
what you're doing.
No. That's fine. I don't want to do that because
right.
I want to spread. You know, I want to spread
right.
Indivisible.
Exactly. Okay. Right.
Right.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. As one of the women in our main team said, like, good, that means we're doing our job. That means they're noticing, they're getting afraid. Like,
right.
Fine. More power to him. And also makes
and
my job easier.
And they're trying to intimidate
I can go,
us, I feel.
Right, exactly. And also makes my job easier. I can go to that list and double check. I've got all the people, like, following all the people I need to. the same... Which is a little bit, I mean, both true and a little perhaps flip, but at the same time, I do understand the concern because the web risk is very real, right? And, like, for those of us familiar with Gamergate, there's a lot of similar contours in the Trump campaign and, you know, sort of current environment. So... I don't know. I think a balance of caution and, you know, I would say make the decision for you on how much risk you're willing to accept. And,
okay.
Of course, don't hesitate to reach out if there are, if other problems arise, we'll take them as they come.
Okay. Thank you.
And one more quick note on that. One of our bloggers today was talking about how she does personal safety classes. And so we're trying to gauge some interest by those who comment on that class. So if you look at our blog, it's one of the more recent posts there. And so we really want to engage this person in the future because she's got some really great things to say about keeping yourself safe. And I think we can also work really hard for outreach to try to bring some people in who can talk about cybersecurity and cyber safety because there's some really common sense things you can do if you are targeted by some guy, you know, like make sure some creep, you know, you can do certain things that will make your life, you know, a lot more secure if you're that concerned. But it's good information to have. So I think we'll work on that in the future.
And one other potential one to address this to folks who may not be on Twitter but may be interested but are a little scared off by that question, or even if you are on Twitter and don't want to necessarily use your personal account. And you might want to let folks know before you go and start tweeting about invisible stuff, hey, I'm going to create a separate account for this. If you're interested in this topic, follow that and disclose it. And then you can go and create another account and not have to worry so much about it. You're actually disclosing your identity. Twitter can be anonymous unlike Facebook, so there's an advantage to that. You can use that to your advantage.
All right. I think, let me see here. We have no other questions. Let me look at the agenda. So we have not announced the next meeting quite yet. That'll be coming soon. We are having a conference call next Tuesday at the regularly scheduled time, barring any sort of like announcements from President Obama, of course. So I have a note here about book people.
Yes, so that is the Austin Writers Resist event where Texas writers are all coming together to read from their work, particularly about the resistance, and we were recently asked to staff a table there. And so Indivisible Austin will be representing at Austin Writers Resist at Book People Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m.
And another note here that we need to make sure we need some more folks to represent from Lloyd Doggett's district. Does anyone have a note about that, please?
So that was just a note to add on the agenda. I don't think we have anybody from Doggett's district, and I know that it's been gerrymandered to hell, but obviously we have a strong connection to his office through the Maine Indivisible team, and we want to get to know people in his district so that we can be sure that that we're supporting him.
All right. Well, we are about.
Tom, I did have one quick question about when making calls. Is part of the purpose of the calls is at all to take up some of the time of the staff? In other words, do you want to try to always speak to a live person whenever possible and not leave a message and a recording? And furthermore, do you want to try to have kind of a more than a 10-second script while you're calling, so that you actually take up even more time on the staff. Is there a purpose to, is that part of why we want to make the calls or not?
Yes, the original guide has kind of long scripts, and I have found it difficult to engage at that level of detail, so I kind of share that question myself. Sarah, do you have any insight there?
Yeah, I saw that question. I think we had it posted elsewhere, and I actually am curious to really pass that along to the former staffers, because I think on the one hand, yes, I suspect that a little bit of that taking up time and taking up, you know, just sort of space, both in the sense of physical and on the phone, is part of making yourself known. But then also, we don't want to verge into, totally wholly inappropriate territory. So I figure I'll send that one up the chain and report back.
Thank you. There was an amazing Twitter thread from a former congressional staffer about 2 or 3 days after the election, saying this is what
yes.
you need to do, guys. And so a few things. So first of all, go ahead.
She has a whole separate guide, actually. It's called Call the Halls, and
yeah.
I do recommend it. She has also, to some degree, claimed that some of the content in the Indivisible Guide was plagiarized, which it wasn't.
Oh, no.
But she's doing great work herself, so I do recommend her very much. I actually follow her on Twitter. I find her to be very useful, and she also has a different perspective than a lot of the people who contributed to the Indivisible Guide. Her name is Emily Ellsworth, and I believe she was actually a local district staffer, as opposed to a staffer in a DC office. And those are, you know, while similar in role, it's pretty different in experience. So I think she actually has some insights of her own to offer. And I do recommend you can download her guide. It'll ask you for a donation of whatever value you choose, including zero. And it's called Call the Halls.
So some of the great things that she mentioned. Thank you for all of that context, because my ancient brain only remembered sort of the thread. And so one thing she mentioned is that staffers are doing a job, and
yeah,
you need to be, when you call or when you have contact with them, please be courteous. Obviously you have passion, but there's, you don't want to be like a rambling sort of lunatic. You need to have, like, call them for like a focused issue is what she was recommending. Be courteous, and they'll be like, okay, we will take that down, you know, for or against or whatever. And she did mention, I think, in one of that part of the stream was that, you know, leaving a message was probably not very effective. Emails weren't very effective either. It's a call or a face-to-face contact. With a voter, that is what's going to really, really impact.
And perhaps not including, if you have two issues in which to call one representative, don't do them in the same call, because they may not get logged correctly or at all. Like, call separately.
Call one in the morning, call one in the afternoon. I mean, that's what...
Yeah.
I mean, seems reasonable to me.
Yeah, cool. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. Is there any other business we need to do before we close out this call?
So I just want to close on a happy note, which is we were just our picture was just up on Maddow, Rachel Maddow's show on MSNBC.
Our picture?
Both my mom and
yep.
my dad texted me in the middle of the conference call. So this has gone from zero to Maddow in like 3 weeks. So that's thanks
we
to
were
you
on
all.
Maddow? Like
yeah,
the picture
yeah.
that we took in the church?
I mean, I think it was just our picture, but the picture you took.
Yeah.
yeah.
Awesome.
So it's out there. So anyway, let's end on a high note. There's lots more work to do. We'll get back on those phones tomorrow. Who knows what's happening with our democracy, Obama's speech. We'll all die. Let's sleep and think more on it tomorrow. Have a great night.
Thank you so much,
everyone.
Take care.
All right.
Thanks, y'all.
Yeah.